Today, we are going to focus in on the idea of focus. See what I did there? Uh-huh. You only laugh at me when I'm not wanting you to laugh.
Okay.
So we're going to look at a passage. It will be on the screen. I forgot to write down what the passage is, so I can't even tell you what to look up. Oh, perfect. It's Luke. It's Luke 10. I'm glad I put that on. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed her into her home. Her sister, Mary, sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, "Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me." But the Lord said to her, "My dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all of these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her." Now, I'm not going to lie, Mary and Martha are probably two of my favorite people in the Bible. I find them fascinating. And so in this passage, Mary and Martha show two different reactions to a situation. Their dear friend was coming to dinner. But this wasn't just any friend. This wasn't just any dinner party. This special guest was the man who had been performing all kinds of miracles. He was the man who had been teaching people about God. He was the man that people were saying just might be the coming Messiah that had been prophesied about centuries ago. They had Jesus coming over for dinner. And they had 12 hungry disciples coming with him. That's a lot of food they're going to have to make. I have a 20-year-old little brother. So believe me, I know that men can eat a lot. There would have been all kinds of details for them to figure out. Now, as soon as Jesus got there, Mary dropped everything that she had been doing, and she went and she sat at Jesus' feet. She listened to exactly what he was teaching. And Martha, she was the hostess. She kept working. She kept making sure everyone was comfortable. She wanted to make sure everything was done perfectly. She made sure dinner would be ready on time and probably kept doing all of the typical hostess stuff. Took care of their sandals and togas, if that's what they wore back then. She wanted to make sure that everything was perfect and that Jesus and the disciples were happy and comfortable. And of course, with that many people in one room, it would be far more difficult to do as just one person. And so, like any big sister, myself included, she started to get really frustrated seeing her younger sibling just sitting around. So she said something. Reminds me a lot of myself in this situation. She asked Jesus to tell her sister to get up and help her. But she probably wasn't expecting Jesus to respond the way that he did. He didn't address the fact that she had her sister sitting there doing nothing. He didn't even address the fact that Martha obviously needed a little bit of help. He talked about something very different. He spoke to a different issue. He said, "My dear Martha, you're worried and upset over all of these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her." So what was it that Mary had discovered? What was this big thing that she had found that couldn't be taken away? Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus. Now, this passage was originally written in Greek. So if you look at the original Greek word used in this passage to describe her listening, the word is akouo. It's one that describes a way to learn or to understand. When I was in high school, there were a few classes that I definitely wasn't interested in. One would be science, the other would be math, and there were a bunch more, but those were the main two I just did not enjoy. So I wasn't a rebellious kid. I wasn't a disrespectful kid. So I would go into those classes and I would sit and I would be respectful and listen and not cause a disruption because I was bored. But my mind was not on what my teacher was saying in those moments. He would be talking about Pythagorean theorem or whatever you call it. I can't remember the word because I wasn't listening. And I would be thinking about whether or not I should eat my ham sandwich that I packed for lunch or if I should go to the cafeteria and buy pizza. Usually bought pizza. Or I would be thinking about how excited I was for the next episode of Doctor Who to come on TV. I was not listening to Pythagorean Theorem. I was listening. I could tell he was talking, but it was going in one ear and out the other. I wasn't hearing him. When I got to college, a few things changed. We had this one professor. His name was Doug James, and he is one of the most Christ-like, wisest men I have ever met. He's amazing. In some of our classes, one of the students would raise their hand and say, oh, by the way, I've heard this one snippet of scripture. And they would just say a little snippet of scripture. The Bible's a big book with no reference. And say, what do you think about that? And without hesitating, he would say, oh, I believe that's in Habakkuk 3:14. Let's turn there and discuss. He just knew his Bible inside and out. And so when he talked, I listened. I wasn't sitting there thinking about my pizza or what I would eat or the next episode of whatever TV show I was interested in. When he talked, I listened. I was thinking, yeah, I hear you. Yeah, I get what you're saying. I understand. I wasn't just listening, I was hearing. It was the akouo type of listening. And that's exactly what Mary was doing in this passage. Mary was listening to Jesus. He was teaching. She knew him as a friend, and she knew that he was a man of God. So when he started teaching, she focused in on what he was saying. She wanted to learn and to understand exactly what he was saying. So how else is Mary described in this situation? It says that she was sitting at the feet of Jesus. Mary didn't think that she was an equal to Jesus. Mary didn't think, oh yeah, Jesus will share some of his wisdom, and I'll give my perspective on that, and we'll swap a few stories. I'll tell him what I've learned lately and, you know, teach him some stuff. That wasn't Mary's attitude at all. Mary knew that she wasn't equal to Jesus. She sat at his feet humbly. She knew that what he had to offer was so much more than anything she did. She wanted to soak up everything that he said. Mary came to Jesus with a humble attitude, fully desiring to hear what he had to say and to be in his presence. And that is what she found. She had an intimacy with Jesus where her strongest desire and her greatest motivation was to hear from Jesus and be in relationship with him. That was something that couldn't be taken away from her. The words that were spoken, that moment in time where she learned from him and spent in his presence, no one could take that from her. So that's Mary. Mary's a dear friend of Jesus. She showed this attitude. Martha, she's also a very dear friend of Jesus. And she's demonstrating that too, just in a different way. She was busy. She was preparing for dinner, making sure Jesus was comfortable, making sure her guests were cared for, getting everything that you need to do to make sure 13 hungry men are okay, getting all of that done. That would be a struggle. She was working hard, and she was serving to ensure that Jesus would enjoy his visit. Naturally, as an older sister who's trying to get all of this done and feels like she has no help, she got frustrated. She just had so much to do and no help. I'm pretty sure she's not the only human in history to feel that way. I can guarantee it, actually. Now, oftentimes, with this passage, I hear Martha described in a certain way, that she was completely uninterested in Jesus and what he had to say, that she was unspiritual. But that's not true. This passage isn't a parable, a story to teach a point. Martha isn't a character in a storybook for children. She's not one-dimensional. This is something that really happened. She's three-dimensional. She was a real person. The point of this passage isn't to show evil versus good, or to show the good, pious, kind sister versus the crazy, unspiritual one. Martha was a real person. And when Jesus answered Martha's complaint, he responded with gentleness and with kindness. He said, "My dear Martha," he spoke out of concern and he spoke out of love. Jesus didn't denounce her for making dinner or for playing hostess or for serving people. He didn't speak against that heart of service that she was showing, because that's an incredible God-given trait to have. He was speaking out against a problem in her focus. Martha was so busy spending all of her time trying to make sure that Jesus was cared for that she missed out on just being with Jesus. She was distracted and she had a million concerns going on that she felt like she had to act on. And so often in life, this is the perfect picture of us. There's just so many things to do. Life is so crazy sometimes. Life is busy, and there's days where it feels like we have absolutely everything we need to get done and no time or help to do it. There's stress and there's worries. We need to get stuff done for our job, but we need to make sure our kids are okay. We need to get dinner on the table, make sure they're fed, hopefully something healthy, or maybe it will just be McDonald's again because we just have no time. You have to make sure you try and get a social life, maybe, if you can, and maybe a couple hours of sleep. Who knows? There's just so much stuff going on in life. It's so easy to become like Martha. It's easy for our focus to shift off of Christ being the center of everything and for it to just shift into other things. And we don't do it on purpose. I don't think there's ever a day where we wake up and say, "Good morning, world. You know, today I think I'm going to get so caught up in trying to discipline my children when they mess up the kitchen and making sure I get to work on time, coming home, cleaning up for company and being a hostess and making sure everything is ready for tomorrow to do it all over again. You know, I just won't spend any time with God today. I'll just, you know, it's not as important. I'll just leave them on the back burner for the next week." We never wake up and think that. But it's just so easy to do, just little by little by little. Life gets in the way, and all of a sudden, it's the end of the week, and Jesus kind of just got off to the side a little bit. It happens so easily. As a pastor, I am 100% not immune to this. I know my job is all about Jesus, but still, sometimes I find that I lose my focus. I mean, my job is to come up here and preach and to teach kids and youth about Jesus and to minister and all of that. You would think that Jesus would always be the center of my focus. But sometimes I get so distracted and caught up thinking, okay, I need to make sure I do this and this and this for this event. I need to make sure that I connect with this person because I haven't seen them in a while. I need to make sure that my sermon is prepped for this day. I need to communicate with this person about this thing. I need to text this volunteer. And little by little, it becomes just this to-do list. And sometimes at the end of the week, I come here on a Sunday and I think, oh, oops, Jesus, you weren't my focus at all this week. It's so easy to do. I catch myself doing exactly that all the time. And I know I'm not the only one. But as easy as it is, I have to remind myself that getting dinner on the table and making sure I have every little thing done for work and trying to connect with friends and getting stuff done with my family, all of that stuff, in the end, it's not what's most important. Things of this world don't last. There's something that is far more important. Having an intimate relationship with God, that is something that will never be taken away from you. It will impact your life forever. There are so many experiences I wish I could tell you about where I just stopped and I took time with God and I said, you know what, right now, I don't care what gets let go. Nothing else matters. I just need time with God. And the things that he has done in my life in those moments have changed me forever. The person that I used to be is not the person I am today because of what God has done in those moments. Jesus needs to be our focus. But what does that mean? What does that look like when Jesus isn't sitting in the easy chair in your living room? Oftentimes in our culture, what it means to be a Christian, the popular idea of that is that to be a Christian means that you believe in Jesus and maybe once in a while you go to church. Easy. But is that really what Jesus died for? So we could have some kind of religious label we could claim. Jesus wants to be a part of every aspect of our life, not just when we're here at church or doing church things. He wants to be a part of our work life and our family life and our personal life. Because he loves us. When you love someone, you don't want to just be a part of one little aspect of their lives. You want to be in all of it with them. Seeing Mary's example in this passage is so incredible, because this is how you spend time with God. This is how you keep your focus on God. You talk to him. You pray. You read your Bible and listen for him. You take those personal times just on your own and with God. You do the spiritual disciplines and deepen your relationship. And that refreshes you and it strengthens you for daily life as well. I actually have a fun picture kind of story on the screen to show you that kind of drives this point home. And it says, once upon a time, a very strong woodcutter asked for a job in a timber merchant and he got it. The pay was really good and so was the work condition. For those reasons, the woodcutter was determined to do his best. His boss gave him an axe and showed him the area where he was supposed to work. The first day, the woodcutter brought 18 trees. "Congratulations," the boss said. "Go on that way." Very motivated by the boss's words, the woodcutter tried harder the next day, but he could only bring 15 trees. The third day, he tried even harder, but he could only bring 10 trees. Day after day, he was bringing less and less trees. "I must be losing my strength," the woodcutter thought. He went to the boss and apologized, saying that he could not understand what was going on. The boss said, "When was the last time you sharpened your axe?" "Sharpen? I had no time to sharpen my axe. I've been very busy trying to cut trees." He should have sharpened his axe. No matter how hard the woodcutter tried on his own to keep doing what he was doing, he just couldn't because his axe was dull. He'd gotten so caught up in the busyness of cutting trees and trying to get his work done that he had neglected to sharpen his real source of strength for tree chopping. And our lives are like that too. Joyce Meyer says, "Spending time with God is the key to our strength and success in all areas of life." When we spend time with God, he refreshes and he strengthens us, so that we can go about the busyness of life with renewed strength. I'm getting old and I can't remember. It was in college. I went through this really rough patch in my relationship with God. There was just a lot going on at the time. There were a lot of problems. Life had just thrown me a curveball. And it seemed like everyone in my life seemed to be struggling and seemed to be hurting. And I just had so many doubts and insecurities. And I was so confused about why God was letting it happen. And I kept going to church. I was in Bible college to be a pastor. I believed in God and I kept going to church and I kept serving and going to classes and talking about Jesus in the cafeteria, because sometimes that's just what you did. But I stopped praying. And I stopped spending time with God. And I started to think, I don't even know if I want to do this anymore. I don't know if this is worth it. I don't even know if I want to be a Christian anymore. And I ended up going and talking to a professor about it. And I sat in his office and just basically dumped all of my feelings on him. And said, "This is going on and this is going on. And I don't understand why God did this. And I don't understand why God did this." And I was just so angry. And so I talked about everything I was thinking, and he listened, and then he just prayed for me. And I went to the chapel service right after that, and I very clearly remember sitting in that broken, dirty chair and thinking, I haven't prayed in so long. I haven't heard from God in so long. I haven't even been trying. And so for the next week, I just decided, regardless of what was going on, I decided for the next week, I would just really push in and pray and talk to God and try and figure it out. And to be honest, none of the situations changed at all. Some of them got worse. But I changed. My perspective and my attitude changed. And even though things were getting worse at some points, I was able to handle it. I was able to have the strength to get through, because that's what relationship with God does. That's what being in his presence does. He renews our strength. He gives us the power to be able to push forward. He goes through life with us. It's like sharpening your axe. When you spend time with God, he'll equip you for life and for serving him. This passage wasn't the last time we hear about Mary and Martha in the Bible. There's actually 3 recorded visits that Jesus makes to them. In John 12, we find another incredible example of keeping God at your focus, keeping your focus on Christ. The passage says, 6 days before the Passover celebration began, Jesus arrived in Bethany to the home of Lazarus, the man he raised from the dead. Lazarus was Mary and Martha's brother. A dinner was prepared in Jesus' honor. Martha served, and Lazarus was among those who ate with him. Then Mary took a 12-ounce jar of expensive perfume made from essence of nard, and she anointed Jesus' feet with it, wiping his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance. So in this passage, not too much has changed. We still see Martha serving faithfully. And that's because it hadn't been her service that had been the problem. We see that Mary, in this passage, also begins to serve Jesus in a different way. Mary comes out with this expensive perfume, and she anoints the feet of Jesus and even uses her own hair. She does this, she puts aside her dignity, her possessions, and she puts herself on the line to glorify God. So if the last passage showed us how important it is to just be with God, this one shows us the importance of serving him with everything that we have. There's times in the Bible where we see Christ himself serving others with diligence and with love. So as we continue to spend time with God, as we continue to nurture our relationship with him, we'll start to become more like Christ and more like Martha in this case, and take on that servant's heart that's portrayed. It hadn't been her service and hard work that had been the problem, just her focus. So now we see her continuing to serve Christ, continuing to honor him. And now we see Mary following in her footsteps as well. We have an incredible, incredible God. We have a God who has the power to create life, to create this world that we live in, a God who has the power to create us and our inner workings. We serve a God of love who is willing to give up all of the glory of heaven, all of his comforts, and even his own life to rescue us, even when we wanted nothing to do with him. Christ gave up everything to rescue us, so shouldn't we be willing to give up something in return to show him honor? When we have a right relationship with God, one where we know him, one where we love him, we should just naturally begin to serve him as well. And we all have something to offer. God has given every single person in this room gifts and talents and resources and time. And maybe you think you have nothing important to offer. I have lived my life thinking that I had nothing important to offer God. I was too scared to speak in front of people. I was too nervous to talk to people at church. I felt like I just wasn't good enough. God has a funny sense of humor when he makes you have a career where you stand in front of everyone. We all have something to offer. We can offer our obedience, for one. We can offer our time and our resources to others to point them to him. We can offer God our life and say, you know what? This is it. It might not be glamorous, but do what you want with it. And then when he speaks, listen. I've always loved learning about Mary and Martha because they're two very different women whose relationships with Jesus looked very different, but both of them served Jesus faithfully. Mary was obedient. Martha was full of service. Different gifts, but both served him. So today I really wanted to challenge mostly myself, but also everyone else with this. In the busyness of day-to-day life, where is your focus? Is it on Jesus? Is it on your job? Is it on work? Is it your kids? Not bad things. But what really drives you? Where is your focus? Are you taking time to spend with God and find refreshment? New Year's, it's a good time to think and to reflect. Thank you. It's a good time of reflection. So let's reflect on these points. Where is our focus going into 2018? Because what we focus on will make a huge difference in how this year is going to look. Are you going to strive to focus on Jesus this year? Are you going to strive to serve him and to follow him and to give him your everything this year? And it's easy to say that. It's harder to do. It's easy to make no choice. But making no choice is still a choice. Because if you don't actively decide to follow Jesus, if you don't actively decide to make him your focus, you're actively deciding not to. You know what I mean? So this year, what is your focus going to be on? Are you going to take the time to spend with God and find refreshment this year? I want to challenge all of us, myself included, to be intentional with what we decide. Because it's going to shape the rest of our year. And a year is a long time. Now, if this is something that you've been struggling with, I struggle with this constantly. I don't want you to feel condemned. I don't want you to feel guilty. Because our God is not a God of condemnation or of guilt. He's the opposite. He came to free us from that. If you feel condemned, if you feel guilty, that's the enemy whispering in your ear. So don't beat yourself up is what I'm saying. Because that's from the enemy. Because don't forget that when Martha lost her focus, Jesus spoke words of comfort to her. He said, "Dear Martha." Maybe he would say, "Dear Rachel," "Dear whoever you are." Our God wants to speak words of love and comfort because he loves his children. We're his children. And another thing I want you to remember for this year of 2018 is that God loves you. God desires to be in relationship with you, to spend time with you. So let's not forget that. I want you to really think about what I asked you. Think about where your focus is going to be this year. You make a decision, and if you don't, that's still a decision. So I want to encourage you to take some time, really pray.